Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent.
Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm Tani Alvarez, your host from Verrill, and today we're talking about money, wages, salary, compensation, you know, what we pay to employees for a hard day's work. Well, we know that how much an employee is going to be paid for a lot of employees is at top of mind. How much thought have you given to how often an employee is paid? Have you been operating in a weekly or biweekly cycle because, quote unquote, that's the way it's always been done here? Well, enter Every, a fintech company that's disrupting the two-week pay cycle by making it easy to pay workers instantly. Today, our guest is Every CEO, Brett Barlow, and we'll be discussing why employers should be rethinking their payment practices. Welcome, Brett.
And thank you so much for having me, Tony. It's great to see you again.
Well, I think a lot of people always are excited by a show where we're talking about money, but sometimes sure. Business owners are thinking, wait a second, in HR, if they're talking about money, it means the money that's going out, the money that I'm paying to employees. But what I really enjoy about the conversations you and I have had so far is the way that you've rethought that, the way that we've really brought financials into be more of a cultural discussion and not purely based off of how much we're paying, but understanding a time money concept that getting employees paid faster has significant value kind of across the country. And I'd probably say across the world. This isn't just a US issue.
No, for sure. I agree with that. Yeah.
So Brett, tell me a little bit more about yourself and how you came into your current role at Every.
Oh, the story is so long, Tawny. 26 plus years.
Let's see if we can limit that 26 years. Let's see if we can do footnotes of 26 years to about four, just those highlights.
Well, I'm a builder. I think I could put in a synopsis there. I'm a builder. I really like to tinker and disrupt. And throughout my career, I've found myself in startups that are kind of disrupting somewhat established markets. I really love the collaboration of solving problems with teams, and I love the just excitement in it and energy that you get from startups. So through that journey, some of them have failed. I've been fortunate enough to be on executive teams where a couple of them, we've led them through initial public offerings. So I've been, you know, really successful in that way. I've joined, for example, I was with Hewlett Packard for a while. My employee number was 198,000. So I felt a little bit lost in the shuffle there. I realized that wasn't, the right environment for me. So I've found myself more in the businesses that have got a little bit of traction, but are looking towards just really scaling and growing their businesses. And I feel like I've learned a lot in the way. I've failed a ton and, you know, had some successes with the teams that I've been able to work with. And after about, I guess, how I kind of got here, I was the leading marketing at a company called Skull Candy. So a business to consumer headphone company. So that's a transition we could talk about too. I went from there to selling SaaS as CMO for a company called Pluralsight. Well, to like make a long story short, the head of finance at Skull Candy had the original idea for Every. So after Pluralsight went public and he sold his company, we came together and he said, "Hey, I've got this idea." And we met at lunch and he wrote it out on some napkins, like the typical thing you hear about, you meet at a coffee shop or something. But it really was that early. It was just kind of in the idea phase. And I'd know his name is Ron Ross. He's our president and CEO. And You know, when you work with people in the past, and at Skullcandy, we had it was kind of hard being public. We had some ups and downs, and you really learn a lot about people's character when things are challenging. So I knew that I trusted him. I knew that I respected him. And I know that I knew and know now that he's just incredibly thoughtful. So when he speaks, I listened, and he sold me on the idea. And here we are. So I joined the board of directors in 2018. And then Ron asked me to join as CEO in February of 2020. So I would say we co-lead the business. He's my partner in crime, although we're not committing a crime.
I mean, one of the things I love the napkin to reality kind of discussion. I always say, like, passion to profit is one of, you know, those great, it's a great story. And a lot of people, you know, are able to achieve it, and a lot of people aren't. And one of the things that I really love about kind of your synopsis as to how we got here is the acknowledgement of failure, because I am a big believer that if you don't fail, you're not trying hard enough, you're not stretching, you're not reaching. If you're successful in everything you do, in my mind, you either, I don't even want to say you have a ton of luck, but you're just not trying hard enough because
you're not pushing it. You're not pushing the edges if everything is going perfectly.
Exactly. And so to me, hearing kind of that statement even furthers this idea of disruption. And I think it's going to be key in kind of what Every's doing and a big part of our discussion. So talk to me about what Every is. I think probably a lot of our listeners may be unaware. For those listeners who are aware of who Every is, and I say who because I think, like, it sounds like culturally it's made up a lot of different people who have great ideas and who all want to see that disruption within the industry. So tell me a little bit about Every. I already know, but our listeners probably don't. And for our listeners who maybe are already using the product, a better idea of kind of who you all are.
Sure. Yeah. So the idea of Every came from, as I mentioned, my partner, Ron Ross, where his daughter was at college and she was coming to him on a monthly basis for daddy or father short-term loans. She was working and making enough money, but the sequence of when she was getting paid and when her bills were due was just out of line. And he thought, the way his mind works, this is an operational thing. I mean, this can be fixed. My daughter, it's not just budgeting. It's just this timing and mismatch, and how pervasive is this problem and why is it like this? And as he approached me, I started thinking to myself, you know, I remember throughout my career where I've early married, thinking with my wife, oh my goodness, are we going to make it to Friday? Are we going to be able to make it? And we're both employed. We're not overspending. It's just, you know, that mismatch in timing. And so his story kind of really resonated with me. And it became a very personal thing for me, because I thought, well, if that's happening to me, this isn't actually just a hourly worker or low wage earner problem. It's something that people have challenges with in the workplace across the country. So what we did is we set out to build a payroll platform, full featured. So you would think of it as something that would compete with an ADP or Gusto or something like that. But the focus that we made was fast pay. In fact, daily pay. So when workers are onboarding to our platform, they get to choose the frequency with which they get to be paid, daily, weekly, biweekly. They just get choice there. And that's, of course, approved by the administrator at the company. The way that we facilitate that is we have a credit facility where we pay the wages. And so it doesn't come out. The company then pays us back on their regular payroll cycle. So there's no changes to operations. There's no changes to cash flow. Everything happens exactly like it did before, but we make the daily payments for them. And in that time, we're taking care of taxes, garnishments, all of the things that go along with that. We have an embedded time clock. We have an embedded scheduling app. We have integrations to benefits providers. So we have all of those kind of HRIS features But what we have that other people don't have is this ability to pay quickly. And we can talk a little bit later in the show how some of that has changed to being able to serve all types of worker classes and not just the W-2 workers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because I think a lot of people probably who are listening to the show are thinking to themselves, okay, getting people money faster, Tani, you don't have to kind of sell me on that idea. But let's jump into that a little bit more about like, this isn't just getting people money faster, but one of the things that you've stated in the past is the 2-week pay cycle is failing Americans. And what do you mean by that? Because I think we have a lot of listeners who, you know, I said it at the beginning, that's the way it's always been done here. And when we talk about disruption, of course, you're focusing in on a market that is saying that's the way it's always been done here. But is it truly failing Americans, or are we just looking for something else to disrupt?
Yeah, I almost, when you say it back to me like that, it kind of sounds like I'm a politician.
No,
failing Americans, you know, but we are. I mean, the situation is, I'll give you some examples. $34 billion annually are paid in bank overdraft fees. It's a lot of money. 12 million people are currently relying on payday loans to make ends meet. Okay. Now, 12 million people, but there's $46 billion that those people are paying in the exorbitant interest fees that they're being charged. You know, the average credit card debt in every U.S. household is nearly $17,000. So,
you know, and it's interesting, kind of all this data that you're giving, right? Because I think employers so often focus in on, I'm paying a livable wage, but not recognizing kind of all of the other things that are a part of an individual's finances, whether or not it's student loans, whether or not it's healthcare debt, whether or not it's exorbitant, you know, rate hikes with rent or mortgage issues or any of the host of other financial, and I don't even want to say issues that people could be dealing with, but possibly just kind of the issue that you discussed that built the business, like the timeline's just slightly off by a couple dates.
Well, the traditional payroll companies aren't built to move fast. So if you have your cycle is the 1st and the 15th of every month, and you're using a traditional payroll provider, the administrator needs to submit that payroll by the 12th or the 13th in order to get payments out on the 15th. Well, there's no real reason for that other than those companies are holding on to the float of those businesses and they're making hundreds of millions of dollars on it. It's a dirty little secret, I think, in the industry, but that float is held onto and it's interest revenue. It's revenue that these companies make. So if you're one of those companies, and say you're the CFO of one of those businesses, and you go to your board of directors and say, so we're going to forego $300 million in our revenue in order to pay people faster. It just won't really land very well. They're not built, you know, that way. So it's not just kind of government. It's just institutionalized in the way that we're processing things. And it's going slowly. Now, some people will mismanage their money. I don't think that every is a fix-all for everything. I'm just saying that the timing of when people are paid is a contributing factor to the challenges they're facing in the world, in their financial in their personal finances.
And I think that goes to something you and I have spent some time talking about, which is when we have employees who have financial stressors, that has an overarching impact on their productivity more generally. I know that when I'm in financial stress, that it's not something that's easily compartmentalized. And depending on how stressful that situation may be, whether it's kind of basic necessities, food, housing, you know, food, housing, heat, although, and I say heat because I'm in Maine, so heat is usually at the top of my list as to one of my basic necessities. But that's going to adversely affect how successful a person can be. And like you mentioned, if it's only potentially, you know, a 1 or 2 day that issue is what's occurring to provide employers with access to funds. And this isn't a gift, honestly. It's they've already worked.
They've already worked.
So they've earned the time. It's not like we're giving a quote unquote advance, which I think some people may think, well, isn't this, Tani, just advancing pay? But in reality, a pay advance, if you've already earned the time, that's not what Every's providing. It's just providing faster access to money that's already been earned.
Yeah, there are earned wage access apps out there that will give you a percent of your forecasted earnings. But most, if not all of those, charge a fee to get access to those funds. So you're kind of getting double hit, and that doesn't feel really good. To the distraction conversation or point that you brought up, 68% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. Okay, so if you're an employer, essentially 7 out of 10 of your employees are in some way or another distracted, concerned, worried, stressed out about things outside of work. And it's naive to think that those things don't impact their performance on the job.
With that, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. We'll be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, Tani Alvarez, and today our guest is Every CEO, Brett Barlow. And we're discussing why employers should be rethinking their payment practices. Before the break, Brett, you and I were talking about kind of the effect that financial instability can have on our workers, on individuals who...
Yes.
Who are part of our team. And I'm going to use kind of these team and culture terms because I think when we talk about money, it does play a big role in who people are, what they bring to work every day. I know we have some listeners right now who are thinking to themselves, okay, this sounds too good to be true, Tani, but the reason why traditionally we've paid our employees bi-weekly or semi-monthly or, you know, whatever that pay cycle is because it's helping us to build long-term relationships so that we're creating more tenure with our employees. For our listeners who are thinking that way, what's your understanding as to the data related to that kind of concept or idea?
Well, I've never seen any data that supports that supposition. Never. What I have seen is hard data that says if you pay people more frequently, there's an increase in retention rate of 30%. That instead of leaving to another company, if you're an hourly worker for 50 cents more an hour, you're staying with the company that is paying you more frequently or giving you choice. It's also kind of assuming what employees want without asking them.
You know, I think that's a really good way to talk about it as well, is that this assumption, and here we are and we find ourselves in a situation where we're talking about benefits, because broadly speaking, this would be a benefit. It's a form of compensation in the same way that a gym membership, in the same way, you know, so many other perks kind of the job are viewed, but we know that not all of our employees want a gym membership, that's not what they value in their benefits or their compensation packages. So sure. Presuming that someone's going to want to stay with an organization longer because they're going to wait for pay, I guess, is it really that we're holding
people? Handcuffing them? Is that almost a threat? Like, not a threat, that's harsh language, but it's just saying, we've got you, right? You have to stay here for it. So that, you know, what that requires is that an employee is essentially giving an interest-free labor loan to the company for 2 weeks. And so it's interest-free. So the company gets all of the benefits of that. What we're trying to do is increase the exchange of value between employers and employees. There's a service that's provided. When I was younger, I mowed my grandfather's lawn. I mowed my parents' lawn. At the end of the day, when my dad got home from work, he gave me a $10 bill. That might tell you how old I am. But
well, I mean, I'll tell you this, Brett, because I think we're probably of similar age. I didn't get it at the end of the day because it took 2 days to mow the lawn with an electric lawn mower in the fields of New Hampshire. And okay. So it would take multiple days. And then I would get handed that $10 bill. My parents thought it was grand because it was much cheaper than what anyone else would have charged for a lawn.
You must have had a huge yard.
A very, very large yard.
But the point being, when the job was done, you got paid.
Yeah.
As soon as it got done, you got paid, right? They didn't say, hey, thanks for mowing the lawn, Tawny. We're going to get back to you in 2 weeks.
Exactly. No, exactly. And especially, it's interesting because it's almost like, well, do we do that because I was a child, you and I were children, right? And because delayed gratification was something that was more difficult for our minds to comprehend. And are we presuming that, okay, we're going to delay gratification for our employees because either we know better than them and we can help them save it by holding on to it because our cash flow requires us to pay at this. I mean, when we talk about disruption, and this is kind of what I love about shows like this, when we're talking about something that I think we've all taken for granted for decades and decades and decades, except in some industries. I mean, I think if we're talking about some farming industries where we're paying by pick or something along those lines, where there may be some type of daily rate associated with it. But to then look at this from a professional setting, salaried employees and people kind of throughout your organization who also are going to have this need, because we're not looking at 70% of the workforce that is working in agricultural settings. I mean, your numbers are showing that if, you know, what was it?
68% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. And the cash flow issue, I totally understand, especially for small businesses. And that's one of the reasons we have a product that pays this daily pay on behalf of the employer. So nothing in their cash flow changes. In fact, they can use those dollars to invest them in other ways on these, you know, these 2 week cycles, and then just settle up with us after 2 weeks. So we don't want to disrupt operations. We certainly don't increase their costs. And we want to make sure that they maintain the cash flow that they rely on and that it's consistent, while at the same time providing this incredible benefit to employees and trusting them as adults. It's not a company's job to be the financial planner for an individual and to say, well, we're going to hold on to the money because we're not sure that they'll spend it or that they'll save it appropriately. So we're going to hold it for them. That's just not treating them like adults, you know. And I've found that when you treat people as adults and you treat them with respect and you show them value, that you value them, in addition to the pay, that creates loyalty. That creates loyalty because it gives them self-worth and it helps them understand that my employer trusts me, they value me, and they're willing to see that my life might be different than theirs and I need to have access to pay or certain benefits that are counter to maybe what we've done traditionally.
I mean, it's interesting because those terms and phrases, you know, they all lead to, in my mind, to an autonomy kind of discussion. And we know that when we're talking about autonomy, that we then very quickly are able to move into equity and inclusion and some of those concepts. Have you found in working with companies that you're hearing feedback that this is assisting with some of their DEI efforts, especially where we're getting kind of diversity is an important aspect of it, but really focusing in on that inclusion and equity, the I and E in DEI, so that they feel more connected to the organization they work for because they are given this choice. I mean, it's not that they have to be paid daily, but again, you know, you mentioning choice and autonomy, is that assisting with these DEI efforts?
Well, I think it expands your hiring pool. I think it definitely gives you access to people that maybe you didn't before. But I think the normal barriers that have been set up just institutionally aren't necessarily along the lines of, at least in this case, maybe gender or race or so forth. Like, workers in general are feeling the pinch of having their dollars held from them. So I don't want to overstate and say that we're, you know, hugely impacting D&I efforts, but I certainly don't think it hurts. And I think it shows individual respect and care that everybody deserves. And so in that sense, I think that, yeah, absolutely, it can be a benefit.
I mean, one of the things that we're talking about, and we've been talking about, I'd say, since COVID, and you know, I'd like to get into at some point kind of whether or not COVID's changed how we look at money and pay cycles. But are you finding when we're dealing with the great resignation, or when we are seeing people silently resigning kind of at work, that we're seeing that this more frequent pay or the choice as to frequency of pay is helping companies to attract or recruit employees, whether or not it's from competitors or people who may be unhappy in their current location?
Yeah, the silent resign to me, honestly, is, as a small business owner, is really disappointing. I mean, that whole concept is just, yeah, because I have investors and I have people that I am responsible to, and other business owners do as well. And so that's just really disappointing that somebody would take that approach. But I think it's a symptom or an output of symptoms of people feeling that they're not valued, right? If you don't care about me, I'm not going to care about you. And so businesses do need to take accountability for that, as well as the action that these employees that are silently quitting or you know, something of that like. So what I believe this frequent pay does is it says, I'm willing to think differently. I see that your life isn't necessarily like my life or somebody else's. I'm going to give you your dollars as fast as possible so you can make the right decision for you. And because not everybody's doing this, although I believe it's going to be the expectation and the rule, like, I really believe that in order for people to compete in the workforce, you're going to have to provide this with the kind of the increased usage of Stripe and PayPal and Venmo and Zelle. And, you know, people just expect an immediate kind of transfer of funds. And unless there's a really good reason to have that not take place, then it almost feels like you're being obstinate as a business and you're just kind of pushing back against it because you don't want to change. So I think businesses need to take accountability for the silent quitting to a degree, because there's a reason why they're feeling disenfranchised or not valued. But at the same time, I'm just personally disappointed that someone would take that approach as an employee. Like, don't do that.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's interesting because in my mind, you know, one of the things that you just mentioned that I think is so important is that concept or idea that we recognize that not everyone's life is our own, that our own biases, the way that we're living and experiencing the work environment, is not the same way that our colleagues and coworkers experience it. And, you know, it brings me around to the pandemic, right? To COVID-19 and this concept about, like, hey, we're all in the same storm, but we're going to experience it very differently. Some people are finding this a good time to reconnect with hobbies and activities. Some people are finding this is a very stressful time kind of at home, and that we each kind of went through this national situation, but we experienced it in very different ways. And I almost see, and I don't want to be hyperbolic, but ideas and concepts of when we get paid and how we get paid being very similar. We're all working, right? We all work, we are all earning money, but the needs that we have as to what we're working towards are all going to be very different. We all work for different reasons. We might live to work, we might work to live, and recognizing that people who are working to live are going to need finances at different points in time, kind of throughout the process.
Sure. The pandemic changed the world. The work world, the professional world, will never be the same again. And some of that's for the better. Some of it's for the worse. What we've seen in our business is a real pull towards contingent workforces or on-demand workforces, temporary staffing, delivery, kind of the creator economy, but essentially the gig economy. And in attempts to make ends meet, people will have more than one of these. They could work for DoorDash and Grubhub, and they could, you know, we know some of those larger players, they can do that. So one of the things that we've done is we've moved into that space to where we can now provide just as much speed and delivery for 1099 workers as we can for W-2 workers. The making ends meet with multiple jobs or getting your money faster is a real thing that happened over the pandemic. I think we can talk about that maybe just a little bit later if you'd like to. But one of the benefits of our company is we have launched instant pay. So if you are a gig worker, so in addition to the payroll platform, the whole platform we have, if you're a gig worker, we can pay you instantly within 30 minutes of completing your job with card program or delivering money to the card that you have in your wallet right now. And it's also kind of savings. There's a digital wallet that says, oh, I've earned these things. It comes from here. I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to cash out here. So we can integrate with different platforms to make that happen, or we can stand alone. But there's been this wave that has come from the pandemic of people rethinking, like, do I really have to be in the office? Do I really have to have kind of this full-time stressful job? Could I make it by doing a couple of part-time jobs where I get the word flexibility comes up, or choice of payment when I'm paid, choice of work schedule, choice of type of when I want to work. Those are all outputs, I think, in a grand scale that came out of the pandemic.
I absolutely want to get into this in a little bit more detail. We're going to take a quick break right now. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. We'll be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go fish, Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
Don't you love that feeling when you've just nailed your look? When someone you barely even know comes up to you and says, "Oh, I love that outfit. Where did you get it?" That's how it feels to use Stitch Fix. They're a personal styling service. Tell them what you love, and they send great clothes for you to try on at home. Stitch Fix is simple. Sign up in just a few minutes. Tell them about the brands you love and the looks that make you feel great. Stitch Fix is convenient. Get everything delivered right to you, so you can try on new styles in the comfort of your own home. Stitch Fix is on your terms and priced to fit your budget. There's no subscription required, ever. Keep what you want and send back anything you don't. So, isn't it time you started nailing your look? Get started today at stitchfix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for women, men, and kids. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-law.com. I'm your host, Tawny Alvarez, and today our guest is Every CEO, Brett Barlow, and we're discussing why employers should be rethinking their payment practices. Before the break, we were talking a lot about culture, about employee needs, about what they're looking for, and that idea and concept of choice. And one of the things that I think we've seen even more so kind of in the last few years is the gig economy picking up and people mm-hmm. looking for that type of flexibility. And in my world, as a lawyer, it's really tough because the laws are so far behind as to what the gig economy needs, the fact that people are looking to work in the gig economy, that they don't want to be tied to one company, that they want to be working for Lyft and Uber on the same day, depending on what platform kind of is working best for them. You mentioned before the break that Every's platform is one that, you know, is working a lot with the gig economy. And you mentioned something about kind of instant pay and a card. Can you tell me a little bit more about what you mean? Kind of, are we talking about a payroll card, which I know many states have kind of laws surrounding, or is this something a little different from that?
Yeah. So again, it's not a loan and it's not like pre-funding unearned wages. Where our company was built initially is as a payroll platform, and we would make transfers of dollars on same day ACH, which just became available in 2018. And that's kind of the spine with which our company was built on. As technology and banking has improved in processes, what we're now able to do is it's the same process, but rather than putting money through the banking rails that are only available Monday through Friday, not holidays, not weekends, we can now put them onto a card that's either in your wallet right now. You don't have to sign up for anything else. We can just put it on your card, which allows us to pay on weekends and holidays. So in a contingent workforce, imagine you're mowing somebody's lawn, for example, or even more, removing snow. If you're in the north or in Utah or where we both live, and you have to do that on Christmas Eve, we can pay you on Christmas Eve. We can pay you on Thanksgiving Day. We can pay you any day of the week of the year at any time. And there is a small fee to access it early. It's like a dollar, but that's a third of what an ATM cost is.
Or any payroll loans, the companies that have made millions and millions on the payday loans and kind of that process where you Absolutely. See the flashing lights on the corner.
Unfortunately, you know, in Utah and other states, it's actually legal to charge 1,000% interest on a payday loan. It's criminal. It's predatory and it's criminal.
I 100% agree.
Yeah, we want to get people their money fast. And so by instant pay, what I mean is, rather than a same day ACH that if it's approved in the morning, you get paid in the afternoon, which is pretty fast. Now it's rather than time-based payroll, the way a lot of people think about it, the 2-week cycle, we start to think about it as event-based payroll. So you provide a service, you make a delivery, you take someone somewhere, you shovel walks, whatever it might be. If you have an app where a service is required or requested, once that's done, you get paid within 30 minutes.
So up to this point, we've been talking a lot about, you know, employees, independent contractors. But as you talk about it from this standpoint, I mean, is this something that you could use for vendor management as well? So maybe you're using an outside company, not an independent contractor, but an outside company to come in and water your plants or to plow your roads, all of those type of issues. Would this integrate to help into your accounting software to also help pay your vendors?
So we don't integrate with accounting software, and we're not accounts receivable. We're account, but we do pay vendors. So we, for example, we have a parent company that we work with that has 20,000 service providers. They do snow removal and lawn care for very large retail businesses that you would be familiar with. We're able to pay them their vendors through our app, right? And then through their vendors, then they pay their employees. So it kind of goes all the way down the line. They pay an invoice. With that invoice in our app, we're also able to pay the employees that, or contractors that work for them.
So one of the things that we also talked about early in the episode, and I just want to make sure it's clear, because I can see people being like, again, Tawny, too good to be true, because I have in my workforce a whole bunch of people who there's garnishment issues, their withholdings are different, you know, that I have this, that, or the other thing to take care of. Just because we have those withholdings or garnishments that maybe occur regularly in our workforce, that wouldn't affect their ability to take advantage of a platform or service like what Everly's providing, correct?
Yeah. So Everly is built by former CFOs. I happen to be the lone person who's not a CFO, but my partners and co-founders in this business have run payroll for years. They knew coming into this that this would be disruptive. So one is, does it cost more? No, it's significantly less. Is it harder to use? Absolutely not. It's an app-based service platform that we have that you can run payroll on the go. Now, garnishments, 401ks, benefits, we extract those out on a daily basis and we remit them on a two-week pay cycle. It's completely transparent to the worker or to anybody else. We take care of all of that. We take care of taxes. We file, or we provide 1099s, W-2s with our app, within our app. So an HR or an administrator doesn't constantly have to be shoulder tapped saying, "Hey, can you get me a pay stub? I'm trying to get a loan. You know, where's my 1099 or where's my W-2? It's all within our app, and you can email it to your accountant from there. You can save it, you can send it. So we have documents stored within our application as well.
So I think that that's also super helpful, because I could see even some employees saying, well, great, yeah, getting paid daily is great, but then on Friday, do I then not get paid anything because all my withholdings and all my taxes are being taken out kind of at the end where we've gotten to it? But it sounds like in each pay cycle, and when I say cycle, it could be daily, it could be every other day, whatever cycle they choose, all of that's already being taken out before the pay ends up in their account, correct?
Yeah, in a way, we're forecasting how often they're going to work with how much we're paying out. And it's tricky. Taxes are tricky. But I believe that we've made it as fair and as accurate as possible. But it, say if you're not working consistently, you're a W-2 employee and you work maybe 1 week out of the month. I mean, most people know what their regular kind of work schedule is going to be. So we're able to take those garnishments out and the taxes out in that way. There's one-offs, and we can work with people and companies on those things. Because nobody likes being charged more taxes than they need to, they need to be or they want to be. But it's one of the beauties, I think the magic of what we've done is we built the hard stuff first. We built the payroll payments engine first before we moved into 1099 and gig workforces. So if you're familiar with the AB 5 laws in or proposals in California, Assembly Bill 5, the classification of workers should a 1099 be actually classified as a W-2. Well, we come across that quite a bit because there a lot of these gig marketplaces have always been focused on 1099s. And now they're a little bit stressed out saying, well, if I have to classify them as a W-2, what am I going to do? So we can handle both. We can handle both of those things. And I'd like to say that we're the only one that can do that both.
Well, I know that from my standpoint, you know, sometimes the question about 1099, W-2, in a lot of states becomes a lot more difficult to answer than California, which is, you know, getting stricter and stricter in a idea that a 1099 doesn't even exist. But in other areas, kind of going through that analysis to determine who is what and what their classification should be. Lots of big concepts there, but some really great avenues forward, I think, for listeners.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. We'll be right back.
Educational HR Radio is critical to your organization's success, and our sponsors understand the value this program brings to owners, C-suite professionals, and the HR community. We are honored and thank our sponsoring law firms of Verrill, Sheehan Finney, Jackson Lewis, and McLean Middleton. Our partner sponsors of Healthcare Purchase Alliance and Strategic HR. Want to be a sponsor of the HR Power Hour? Text 603-303-6124 and say, we want to be an HR Power Hour sponsor.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, Tani Alvarez, and today our guest is Every CEO, Brett Barlow, and we're discussing why employers should be rethinking their payment practices. We've spent most of the episode talking about, well, money, but not just money, but how people's relationship with money works and understanding that the relationship I have with money is different than the relationship my coworkers have with money and ways in which that can affect a company's culture and what employees' expectations are of the organizations they work for. You know, Brett, whenever we're talking about a disruption, it's really based off of innovation, innovative ideas. And I love talking to innovators, and you described yourself as a builder, someone who really enjoys kind of building things. Innovation is something that is so important in all aspects of business. What steps do you take when you feel you're in a rut or you're struggling kind of to look at a situation in a different way where you've said, wait a second, this is the way I've been doing it for so long. How can I look at it a different way? And specifically, you mentioned like failing, that you failed a lot. And I love a person who can admit when they failed. But what do you do when you haven't failed for a while and therefore think maybe you haven't been innovating to the best of your ability?
Well, fortunately or unfortunately for me, I fail all the time. So that cycle can you know, it continues. I've been really fortunate to have an incredible executive team around me, team members, fresh ideas, people that I've worked with in the past, and also people that just joined us at Every. So one, putting out problems and ideas where I'm maybe hitting a roadblock, but there's another idea from a group of trusted people. I really think that healthy teams are built, the baseline of it, the foundation is trust. And if you're trusting people and then you're also finding a way to work through conflict together, that builds some vulnerability within the business and it opens up ideas. It makes people feel that they're not going to be made fun of or in some way persecuted for like just putting up, hey, just a crazy, what about this? You know, so by having trust in an executive team and within the business and showing vulnerability on my side that I, not only have I made mistakes, but hey, I've got this kind of crazy idea. What do you think of this? So that's one part. I really think that talking to customers is really important. So why did we start this? Are we working for you? What's not working for you? And we have conversations quite frequently in our business about what should we do next? We're trying to think 2 years ahead here. Well, I don't think customers should be driving your product roadmap in its entirety, but they're on the front lines. They can tell you what is broken, what is not. Wouldn't it be great if you had? So in addition to our internal teams and how I try to lead them, I think reaching out and speaking with customers and prospects and in a personal way, like, can I take you to dinner? Can I take you to, like, I'd like to pick your brain on some things. What are you going through? The third thing is I just separate from all of it. I go on a walk. I go skiing. I put my headphones on. I go for a jog. I leave my office where I spend a lot of time. And I just kind of like, hey, honey, I'm going to go get the mail. Is that okay? You know, I just kind of break it up. So when you're in a rut, it's like, I've been staring at a screen. I'm looking at my notes. I'm trying to figure something out. Just disconnecting yourself, even if it's for 15 minutes, can just recharge, stretch, refresh how you're feeling. So those are three things that I do when I feel a little bit stuck in the mud.
I think those are all super great suggestions. And I especially am a fan of the teamwork aspects of solutions one and two, because I think that so often while we think we can handle something or that we think we've got something figured out, we're blind to our biases, you know, that we're looking at the situation or the circumstance in one way. When you can give something you can give one document to three different people and they're all going to see something different that's going to point out or really shine through for them. So, Brett, I have really very much enjoyed our conversation. I appreciate your willingness to be on the show and talk about both yourself and Every and the really cool ways that we should be thinking about timing of pay and disrupting kind of payment practices.
Tanya, it was a pleasure to meet you. Thank you for having me on here. If I could just say every.com, come check us out. If we can help with anything, EVEREE. My name, again, as Tanya's mentioned, is Brett Barlow, and I can be found on LinkedIn, or my email is brett.barlow@every.com.
Perfect, everyone. Check them out. You've been listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBRadio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBRadio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at hrpowerhour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.